here's a story from The World.
Now to part two of a story we started yesterday about Uganda getting into the oil business. The country discovered commercial quantities of the stuff back in 2006. Now Uganda's government is taking steps to build the East African crude oil pipeline. It will run from the western part of the country all the way across Tanzania to the Indian Ocean. Both countries are saying the project will help boost development and energy security, but this planned pipeline is facing a lot of heat in East Africa and abroad. The World's Halima Gakhale Kandi visited western Uganda to understand why.
The village of Kijumba is surrounded by green on all sides, with lots of banana trees and cassava plants. 49-year-old Hope Ali Naitwe has spent her whole life here. Ali Naitwe tells me how she lives off her land, planting avocados, mangoes, and other fruits and vegetables. But recently, she has had to give that all up. Ali Naitwe says a few years ago, she was told that some of her land would be needed for the new oil pipeline and that she would be compensated. As Ali Naitwe waited for her money, she says she was told to stop cultivating her land. So she did, and lost out on 4 years of earnings. This September, she did get compensated. But the money wasn't very much, and it's already gone, she tells me. Now she can't afford to send her kids to school and struggles to make a living. Ali Naitwe's experience highlights what has become a flashpoint in these early days of development for this oil project, and that's land. Many rural Ugandans are cash poor, but land rich. Nearby, I meet Rachel Tugume, who's been through a similar experience.
They told me that, oh, Rachel, your land, the pipeline is going to pass through your land. So I waited for them to come, and in 2019, they came and they stopped me from using my land. I was growing cassava. I was a farmer.
She tells me how she was offered about $130 for her land. That's way undervalue, Tugume tells me. So she refused and decided to hold out for a better deal.
Here, land is very expensive. Once they recognize that there is oil and gas that has come up in Uganda, and they're just nearby, it's just behind those mountains you see. The land is very, very expensive.
Land is the only asset Tugume has, and now much of hers is overrun by weeds.
If you have cassava in our place, you're a good farmer and you're a rich person. Mm. Yes.
This is fertile land, just not being used.
Yeah. Now it's like 2 years. I'm not using it.
Tugume tells me she's still in negotiations with pipeline authorities. She says her issue isn't with the oil pipeline itself, but with the impact it's having on locals like her.
We are near the oil and gas, we are near the airport, and we are the people who are affected. At least they could come and help us and also take us to school, because some of us have not gone for higher education, so that we can also benefit from the oil and gas.
In the district of Bulisa, on the shores of Lake Albert, there's a central oil processing facility being built. This is where I meet John. He asked to only use his first name. He tells me he was sued when he refused to sell his land for the pipeline project. But he lost in court, lost his land, and where he's living now is right next to a construction site.
My children are not in school. I cannot have enough money to earn my livings. Even two, with the pipelines, you can see now, there is a lot of noise, a lot of sand, dust, a lot of floods of water.
For activists, this issue of land compensation proves that this pipeline isn't going to help ordinary people in Uganda. Dickens Kamugisha is with AFIEGO, the Africa Institute for Energy Governance.
There is no way you can expect these huge projects to benefit the poor people, the average people. Still, the money will be earned, and only the rich, the powerful, will be the ones to take that money.
This month, AFIEGO sued Uganda and Tanzania over the oil pipeline project at the East African Court of Justice. The group argued that the project violates international laws and regional environmental treaties. There's been a lot of concern about the potential environmental impact of the pipeline. I visit the Bugoma Forest, also in western Uganda. It's a protected area bursting with biodiversity. Nazario Asimwe works in conservation here. He guides me through the forest, pointing out some of the wildlife.
We have elephant, we have a chimpanzee, we have a manga bee, Uganda manga bee, and also we have a carabas monkey, we have orva baboon, and also nocturnal animals also.
Environmental activists are concerned about how the pipeline project could potentially impact this forest, and especially the chimpanzees that live here.
Because the chimpanzees, they move everywhere. They can move where they want to construct the pipeline.
He worries the construction could disrupt the chimpanzees' habitat. Both the Ugandan government and the oil companies involved have responded to critics by saying that they are taking measures to mitigate any potential negative impact of this development project. But Dickens Kamugisha of Afyego says that's not enough. Fossil fuels, he says, are not the answer for Uganda.
I don't think we should be saying let's also destroy this nature for us to be able to make money. Money for what? We can harness our nature and ensure that we get money, but we also sustain our environment. And any argument that we should also follow the path that the West did, it is very absurd and it is very unfortunate.
He says Uganda should learn from the experiences of other African countries like Nigeria, which has paid a heavy environmental price for its oil development and still remains poor. For the world, I'm Halima Gikandi, Hoima, Uganda.